The question was asked when Rav Kook is quoted as speaking of the holiness of a Jew, even if he doesn't keep Torah and mitzvot, is that something that really is in line with other sources? And the Chazon Ish in Orach Chaim, Siman Pei Zayin, Ot Yudalit, if you want the exact source, Chazon Ish, he writes the same idea. We treat a Jew today, a Jew who grew up in secular society, we treat them as Tinok Shenishba. We have the concept in many sources. We have the concept even in Shulchan Aruch, where it says, even a Jew who was a terrible Jew, who did heinous crimes, we don't say about him, Yimach Shmo V'Zichro. And we even name the child from Yibum, we name the child after him. So you see, there's still this concept that a Jew has a certain spark within him, and we view a Jew as holy. This idea goes back to many, many sources. The one who expanded on it a lot is the Maharal. The Maharal was a contemporary of the Rama, of Moshe Isserles. I mean, the Maharal's brother learned Chavrusa with the Rama. They learned in the same yeshiva. So this idea goes back, really goes back very, very far. One can even date it back to the Torah. The idea that a Jew has a special role in the world and a special holiness. Our sages say from Yaakov Avinu onward, Yisrael Shechata Yisraelu. Even if a Jew sinned, he's still a Jew. And this concept has many applications. For example, the idea that when a Jew dies, he has more defilement. Where you have greater holiness, when you take away that life, there's greater defilement. So you see that reflects something, right? A Jew can become tamei the way a non-Jew cannot. You don't say just because he sinned he can't become tamei. He lost his holiness. How come if a non-Jew touches a corpse he's not tamei? Right? And a Jew is. So I'm saying you see this concept of intrinsic holiness is relevant in a million applications. If a monkey shechts an animal, it's not kosher. If a Jew shechts an animal, it is kosher. I'm saying there are many aspects in halacha where we say a Jew, even if he's not observant to Torah and mitzvot, he still has a certain intrinsic holiness. And again, this concept it appears in many, many places of Torah. So I don't think it's fair to say, oh, Rav Kook said that and it's far out. On the contrary, if Rav Kook said that, he wasn't the first to say that. It's a concept that appears all over. The idea that there's extra holiness in the land of Israel, well, that's a Mishnah. The idea that even a Jew that does mundane things in the land of Israel is considered to be busy with holy things, so that you could learn that's a Mishnah, you could learn that's a Gemara. It's spelled out more accurately, more clearly in a tshuva in the Chasam Sofer, and the Chasam Sofer's commentary on Torah. It's also spelled out in an Avnei Nezer. The Avnei Nezer discusses that maybe the reason we don't make Aliyah today, he writes in his day, is because in order to make Aliyah and make it correct Aliyah, fulfillment of the mitzvah, you'd have to live off the land. And if you make Aliyah and you're living off of the Jews in Chutzlar, it's out in Europe, then you didn't really make Aliyah. That's not called settling the land. So maybe that's why we don't bother making Aliyah. He's trying to answer, why aren't we making Aliyah? So I'm saying this idea that living in the land of Israel and doing mundane things is a holy thing, that's an idea that predates Rav Kook, maybe to the time of the Torah, depending on how you want to read the text. I think that people are taking this a little bit too far. These are points which maybe are attributed to Rav Kook because he made a big deal out of them. But if you look closely, you see that they predated Rav Kook. As much respect as I have for Rav Kook, it's not right to attribute these concepts to him. They predate him.